this morning is taken from Acts chapter 9 and can be found on page 1103 or thereabouts in the church Bibles. I'm starting and Sharon's going to continue with the same reading. Acts chapter 9, starting at verse 32. As Peter travelled about the country, he went to visit the saints in Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, a paralytic who had been bedridden for 8 years. "Aeneas," Peter said to him, "Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and tidy up your mat." Immediately, Aeneas got up. All those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which when translated is Dorcas, who was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please come at once."
Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning towards the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called the believers and the widows and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Before I open God's word to us today, Father God, open our eyes that we may see you more clearly, our ears so we may hear your word, and our hearts that we may know you. May your word be heard today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, that song really couldn't have been more appropriate, and in fact probably runs pretty much through everything that I'm going to say now. So do hold that in mind as I'm speaking this morning. So if I were to say to you the word servant, what is the first thought that comes into your mind? Upstairs, downstairs, a maidservant, a butler, a chauffeur maybe, perhaps a civil servant, a minion, not the little yellow folk in dungarees, but those that run errands for other people. Well, I suppose they do as well. Perhaps even the word slave may come to mind. How many of us jump to those meanings too? And perhaps the society that we live in now, the media representation, has created a slightly them and us attitude to servant. And the phrase, "What did your last servant die of?" I have often heard used when one is feeling like they're being taken advantage of. It brings to mind pictures of someone run into the ground doing things for another, one taken advantage of, or one who is at the end of their tether, just continually giving. I spent 8 years working as a nanny for families, caring for children in their own homes. It was a real privilege to be able to do that. But nannies were traditionally servants in large households who reported directly to the lady of the house. I was never referred to as a servant. And I think the word servant has become a lot less popular in our modern age. But performing a duty for another, or being employed in the service of another, such as the government, are all current definitions of servant. But the one that I would like to really focus on today, and perhaps a less well-shared meaning, is to be a devoted and helpful follower. And that's the definition I want to hold on today. It is in the dictionary, to be a devoted and helpful follower. And we've just heard the passage of the disciple named Dorcas, or Tabitha, which is her Greek name, read to us today. Only 7 of these verses actually refer to the account of Dorcas. 7 verses in the entire Bible devoted to a woman who was always doing good and helping the poor. This miracle story of a lady brought back to life by Peter ends with, "And many people believed in the Lord." We may often feel we are just one of the many small minions in a very big world, and what difference can our lives possibly make? What difference does the little we feel we can offer make? But this lady, this disciple, this follower of Jesus made a difference. She made a difference to the individual and to the many that came to believe because she had devoted her life to be a servant of the Lord. To the individual through her service, through her helpful service, and of course through the miracle, her being brought back to life. She was a devoted and helpful follower of Jesus. She was not just devoted to word and scripture and the perhaps more obvious signs of being a disciple, speaking, healing, baptizing, but helpful in a real life, down-to-earth way with real people in need as she served Jesus. While I was preparing for today, I found a rather antiquated clip on YouTube. I would imagine by the clothing and the cars that it came from somewhere around the 70s. And it's a particular family preparing to go to church. So imagine the scene for a moment. The family in their very nice house. The father is tying his tie, dressed in a suit. The wife clearing the breakfast table, looking equally as immaculate. And the daughter dress suitably for the occasion. And the phone rings and the daughter answers it to be asked, could they take a friend to church? And the father says, no, we're already running late. We have to get to church to serve the Lord. Then they get in the car and pass a lady who's broken down and he drives on. The wife says, don't you think we should stop? Don't you think we should help? And he keeps driving. Next, the daughter points to a homeless guy and he says, we can't stop. I haven't got time. I have to get to church so we can serve the Lord. And he sits in his seat in church and he sighs at the requests of help for lifts to the youth club and help to bring food at another event. And his head is deeply in the Bible. And then, as the preacher begins to preach on being a servant of the Lord and how God works through his people, he shouts proudly, amen. The Sunday service, 10 o'clock till 11 o'clock, was his serve the Lord time. I know this is a fairly extreme story, but this guy clearly hadn't grasped the meaning of serving the Lord. He may be utterly devoted to God's word in reading and in learning, but the helpful follower part of the deal had passed him by. And for me, the story of the Good Samaritan immediately sprung to mind, and maybe yours too. So back to Dorcas. We're looking at the Christian characters, as David said earlier, in our morning services. And the title we have today is Dorcas the Servant, as you may have already guessed. Dorcas lived in Joppa. Joppa is now known as Jaffa and was a town in the southwest coast of Palestine. Incidentally, this was the harbour port on the Mediterranean Sea that was used for shipping items in and out of Jerusalem and where Jonah tried to run or maybe sail away from God. Joppa was about 12 miles away from Lydda, where Peter had previously been staying, as we heard in the story, in the account, and where he healed Aeneas from his paralysis. It was from there that he was called to come and see Dorcas. Dorcas, as we see revealed in the passage, made clothing. She clearly had a gift of sewing. It's believed that Philip would have previously visited the area preaching the gospel, sharing with them that people may turn to Christ and be saved. But as he did this, he also addressed the way people should live their lives. He gave them instructions on how to live as a Christian. So the people had not only heard of Jesus and the good news that he had come to save them, but they had also heard what response had to come to this promise in their lives. Not just a change in their understanding, but a change in their hearts, a change in their behaviour. Following Christ should be changing our lives and changing the lives of others. So from the very, very beginning of these people's conversions, they heard they were to be both devoted to Christ and to be helpful followers of his. For the devotion to be love in action, to be both outward looking and inward searching. How are our lives changed when we come to know Jesus? Can people see a servant-like character in us? Dorcas helped the poor. The widows in the passage are likely to have gone without. If Dorcas had not provided for them, widows did not have a social services system or a pension system, and remarriage would have been highly unlikely. If they had no family, they would have had no one to care for them. And these ladies would have been cold. They would have suffered when the winter winds came. They would have been vulnerable. And Dorcas has used her gifts to provide for them. She very practically clothed them. She was a helpful follower of Christ. How many of you remember the hymn, "When I Needed a Neighbour, Were You There?" When I was hungry and thirsty, when I needed a shelter, when I was cold and naked, were you there? And we are promised in the last verse, wherever you travel, I'll be there. Where is it we see Christ in those times? He is in the devoted and helpful follower. He was seen in Dorcas. He can be seen in us. For early Christians, the separation between the physical and the spiritual just wasn't there. The person was a whole. To provide for one's physical needs, to dress someone, was to provide for the whole person. And as the gentleman I mentioned earlier, getting ready to go to church, ensuring that he was dressed properly and on time for church, he had compartmentalized his faith into that Sunday morning service bit. Being a Christ follower, being a disciple of Christ, being a Christian is a whole life activity, a whole person activity. Dorcas had gifts, and we all have gifts. And it's perhaps easy to say, well, this person has the gift of preaching or teaching or singing or praying, and focus on all those upfront roles you see. And not see that each one of us is gifted by God. And that's what's so special in the account of Dorcas. Here she is with her amazing gift of sewing that has blessed so many in a very practical way. And we're told at the end, many people believed in the Lord. We are told that Dorcas is a disciple. She knows Jesus. The love that Dorcas has received from the Lord then flows out of her into the lives of others. She had become a servant of the Lord in her belief, not because she had to as payment or as an insurance policy to get into heaven, but her servitude came as a response from the love that she had received, pouring out to share with others. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, Mark 10. Jesus, the Son of God, God made flesh, came to serve. He emptied himself and took on the form of a servant, Philippians 2. What better example have we got than a God coming to, our God coming to earth in the form of man to serve, to be a servant of all? Jesus may have been a leader, a teacher, a friend, the Messiah, but he was a servant of all. What makes us think that we should be anything more than the one to serve him? We see Jesus washing the feet of the disciples, an act of servitude, feeding the hungry, healing the blind, rubbing up alongside those that society had rejected, the lepers, the Samaritan woman, the demon-possessed, and more. His parables tell us of his love for the lost and the broken. There really is no better example to follow than the Lord we serve. When we know and we love the Lord, we should want to serve him. Knowing him, we should have a desire in our hearts to go and serve him. Knowing that we are the hands and feet of the Lord, we should want to share the gifts that he has given us and the love that he has given us with others. Knowing God is not a gift that we should hold for ourselves, not a knowledge that feeds our own egos, an intellectual knowledge that can answer essays, but something we have been given as a gift to share. Now, it's confession time. I'm not very good at sharing chocolate. In fact, I'm fairly useless. I would quite happily hide in my study and pretend the existence of these chocolates was questionable in the first place. And perhaps I could argue that I am saving you all from all the terrible health implications of sharing my chocolate passion with you. But that's selfish, and I am working on it, I promise. I'll buy an extra box and share that one. But to hold the knowledge of Christ's love to myself hidden in my study is just plain selfish. To not display our God-given gifts to others is holding on to what we have been given. And why would we? Why would we hold on to that? What would Dorcas have done with all these clothes that she'd sewn? Perhaps her passion was for showing, but her passion for being a servant of Christ was even stronger, and she shared that gift. She shared that love in a very, very practical way. Perhaps we feel inadequate to serve God, or don't know what our gifts are, or perhaps we are scared to use our gifts for fear of failure. How about we start with what we know? Start with those things that other people recognize in you. Have a go. Don't do nothing. Emptying ourselves of our pride to become servants of the Lord, listening to where he leads us and guides us. Be willing to be a helpful follower of Christ. So doing good is one thing, being kind, making people close, or whatever it is that you find your gift is, hospitality, a listening ear, maybe driving, so lift to the hospital are great. They're all worthy things to do, and they take on the helpful aspect of our definition, devoted and helpful follower. But Peter tells us that we are to serve, and we must not do so in our own strength, that it is God that provides. It's his name that we serve in. It's his name that we're here to glorify, not ours. 1 Peter 4, we have received the gifts given by God for two reasons, to serve others and to bring glory to his name. Dorcas served others through her gift. Her faith in God and her love for God enabled her to pour this out on others. And as we come to the final part of our passage on Dorcas, we read that she became sick and she died. The people around her are crying and they're distressed at the loss of a lady who had loved and cared for them. They're showing Peter the robes and the clothing that they wouldn't otherwise have had. Peter sends them out of the room and he prays. He then tells her to get up and he takes her by the hand, helps her to her feet and presents her to the people alive. He brings her back to life and he gifts her back to the people. Would we have heard of this once mentioned little known character had she not been raised to life? Her raising to life was not for her sake. She would have been in paradise with God, but it was for the sake of those who needed her. The practical help, yes, but also, and probably most importantly, that many came to believe. The miracle of raising Dorcas from the dead in the name of Jesus led many people to faith. And whilst the miracle part of the story is significant and perhaps means that we hear of Dorcas when we otherwise may not have done, it is the fact that she was a devoted and helpful follower of Christ from Joppa who loved the Lord, served the Lord in such a practical way by loving and caring for people in ensuring that the widows were clothed. The miracle ensured that many, many lives were saved. And further still, she reached through her practical care, and we are able to hear about her and how God's love was shared amongst the widows. Let us not underestimate the power of being a servant of the Lord, a devoted and helpful follower of the Lord. Amen.